from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of February, 2025. I'm Extension's Tug Gleason. Have you purchased your tickets yet? Registered for the All Day I Got Look? That's a week and a day away, next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If not, I hope you will soon at willag.org, willag.org, or on the FarmDoc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Coming up today, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net. We'll hear from ag economist Chad Hart at Iowa State University, and Mark Russo will be here from Everstream Analytics to talk about the weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. One other note about the event at the Beef House next week in Covington, Indiana. You know the Farm Doc team will be there. The Will Ag analyst will be there. We'll talk with the director of the Center for Digital Ag here on campus about autonomous agriculture and the impact he sees in the future on your farm. But we'll also have three authors on hand: Scott Irwin, Jonathan Kappas, and Neil Dahlstrom. You can find the links to their books in the agenda at FarmDoc Daily or at willag.org and order them. There's a 40% discount, by the way, for Jonathan's books. Bring them with you and they will sign them. It should be a great event. I hope to see you there.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $4.82.5, down 8.75. The May at $4.97, 8 cents lower. New crop December 4.25 lower at $4.70.75. March soybeans $10.29, down 10.5 cents. The May down 9.75 at $10.47.5, and November at $10.51.75, down 8 cents. Bean meal $3 lower. The bean oil for the day down $1.11. Wheat futures soft red 11 lower at $5.79 in the March. The hard red March down 12.75 at $5.96.5. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $195.10, up $1.15. Feeders up $4.47.5 at $2.72.5. And the lean hogs at $87.40 per 100 pounds, down 27.5 cents. Crude oil about 21 cents higher. The price of gasoline just about a penny and a half lower for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average are up around 220 points at this hour. Let's turn our attention to Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net to discuss the beginning of the trading week with us. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for taking some time with us. What happened in the commodity markets Friday and today?
Well, we saw a little bit of selling interest. It was just over the weekend here, we saw quite a bit of interest in the world events, particularly. There was talk that Chinese vessels built in China would have a surcharge coming into U.S. ports. And so that added a little fuel to the fire on U.S.-Chinese relations. Also, too, we saw some weather forecast here, a little bit of a warmer situation where the polar vortex is kind of history now, hopefully. We had some colder weather longer term in our forecast. Then all of a sudden we saw some warmer tendencies. Natural gas really took it on the chin there. And so the wheat market sold off on better U.S. weather and world weather. World weather, too, we saw some better forecast of rain in the southern hemisphere in Argentina, a little drier forecast for Brazil there. So we're starting to see that harvest continue to march along and through here. And we're seeing Brazil about 38% complete versus 27% last week, 37% last year, and 34% average. Second crop corn, 54% in the ground versus 40% last week, 57% last week, and 39% average. So they're making some fairly good headway. Ideas continue to be, if we do see some buyers here down the road, that it'll be shifting to the southern hemisphere. So that coupled with all the others here, just put everything in the negative posture here is kind of testing some support levels technically here, Todd.
Is this a pause, some profit-taking in the rally that corn has had since October, or is it the beginning of something different?
Well, we feel we've priced a lot of bullishness in the, or uncertainty into the marketplace over the near term here. We've had a significant rally off the December lows. Producers have been pretty well sold up or catching the move up, moving some cash grain into the marketplace. The marketplace is actually full. You go out west, the basis is 70, 80 under on corn. You talk to guys here in the east, they're having some logistics issues, you know, trying to get grain moved. So I think the producer's pretty well sold up in through here. And now we're seeing a situation where the funds have been buying this rally and through here. Now it's a question whether that commodity fund position can hold on long enough here or if they continue to try to liquidate. We do have month in here at the end of the week, probably showed some liquidation. Plus two, we had March option expiration last Friday. We lost about 100,000 contracts out of the March corn and about 35,000 contracts out of the March soybeans as the puts and calls and futures all kind of lined together there. The key probably as we move through the week here is to see what the Outlook Forum meeting has to show here as we move towards the end of the week there on Thursday and Friday.
What are you expecting from them? Is that 94 million acre corn number going to come out?
Oh, boy, that's the big discussion. If it's not 94, it'll be boys. But yeah, acreage, just getting an idea on acreage. The March 31st would be more dialed in. But the average trade guess for what acreage number will come out is 93.5. That's about 2.9 million bushels more, not bushels, acres more than a year ago. The high guess is 95. I think some higher guesses than that. We've pretty well covered some different locations, different ideas. You know, the South switching to corn, sorghum and milo bids are just not there, so Kansas might have some more corn. And there's just some areas just can't raise beans, so I'd be shocked if the number is below 95 million acres. But we'll see what they come up with, but the main will be in March. Soybeans, 84.4, that's down 2.7 million acres. And cotton, average guess is 10 million acres, that's down 1.2. But that's kind of a benchmark to go through, look at, and we'll kind of go from there.
Hey, thank you much.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Pick up your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's at the Beef House, not tomorrow, but next Tuesday. They're just $40 at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Chad Hart, agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension. He's traveling that state today. He's in the northwestern part of Iowa. Well, I asked where you are, but I'm not sure you really know.
Nope. I'm on a dirt road somewhere north of Remsen, Iowa, which is, yeah, I'm somewhere in, you know, close to either Sioux County or Plymouth County as you look at Iowa, yeah, up in that far northwest corner.
You were talking, I suppose, to producers and others in that part of the world. I asked you to check a couple of things for me, and I suspect you already knew some of this, but there is some worry that there are dry conditions in the western Corn Belt. Is that the case in the northwestern part of Iowa?
Oh, yeah. No, in this case, you know, we are definitely seeing drought conditions up here. One of the big things that, you know, farmers talked about here today is really the lack of snow cover we saw throughout the winter up here in northwest Iowa. As I'm traveling around right now, typically we would have still a good base level of snow on the ground. That is almost completely gone right now. And in fact, when I stepped out today to go do the talk, I was in, you know, short sleeve shirt. It shows that it's been not only, you know, drier than normal, it's warmer than normal up here as well.
And I suppose producers are concerned. The question is, when they ask you that part as it's related to drought conditions early in the calendar year, how much of a difference does it make for you as it's related to the marketplace?
Well, in this case, I would say it's mattering less as the years have gone on. And I sort of go back to when I think about, you know, in my marketing talks over the past 5 years, almost every time now I include the drought monitor in that discussion because we've been dealing with these drought conditions somewhere across the country since 2020. Yet, despite those droughty conditions moving around the countryside here, when you look at corn and soybean yields across the nation, they have been incredibly consistent. North of 170 for corn since 2020. North of 48 bushels on the soybean side since 2020. And so we've seen really strong crop production despite the drought conditions.
What does that tell you about marketing? And I think it may tell you that there's a lot of volatility, but that earlier can be better than later. I'm not certain what it's telling you about how farmers should think about marketing a crop.
Well, you're right. It does bring in more volatility. It means that, you know, when we typically think about weather premiums that would build in, those are taking a little longer to build in than they used to in past, just because we've had, you know, these early drought conditions. We had them again. If you think back to last year at this time, we were in a very similar situation. Yet, you know, when we stared at the crop at the end of the year, it turned out to be the best yielding crop, at least on the corn side, that the country's ever seen. So it does bring some challenges up there. I think for a lot of producers, they're just trying to look and see, you know, in this case, we know we're droughty early. They're wanting to know more about, will this be sort of like last year, where we saw enough timely rains in the middle to make it matter, or will we continue to struggle through this drought deeper into the year and maybe pull those prices higher the further out we look?
Now, I also know that they probably have asked with somewhat of a knowing smile on their face about the 1.55 billion bushel carryout, which is down 700 million from what the first projections of USDA might have been at this time last year for the 2024 calendar year crop. Do you have good news or bad news for them when they look at you that way?
Well, typically they've been happy to see those stocks shrink. And we talk about what's been going on there and how when you're looking at, you know, the changes in usage year over year are basically all concentrated in the export line. When you think about feed demand, that feed and residual has remained fairly consistent year over year. Same thing with ethanol, same thing with food, seed, and other on the corn sweetener side. So that change has really been watching, you know, on the demand side, exports, and on the supply side, yeah, taking off a few bushels there, shrinking this crop below 15 million bushels.
What does it tell you about 24-25 marketing?
Well, as we're looking, you know, at 24-25, we have definitely seen a rebound on the corn side as, you know, this crop has tightened up and those stocks did lower down here. And when I'm looking out to 25-26, I tell farmers it's one of these deals of, okay, will that export demand be allowed to continue to grow, or how will government policy shift that as we're looking forward? Because if you're looking for prices to continue to improve, we either need stocks to be shrinking again, or we'll need a boost in that usage. And right now, the only boost on the usage side is coming from exports.
Do producers think there will be a boost in exports?
Well, right now they're seeing one. I mean, if you look at the data, year over year, corn exports are up now nearly 30%. Soybean export sales are actually up around 12 to 13%. So if you're looking at the international demand compared to last year, yep, we are markedly better than we were. That has been and still continues to be an area for growth in the markets.
And the caveats?
The caveats are exports, tariffs. If you're thinking about, you know, the threats of the tariffs that President Trump has talked about on Canada, on Mexico, on Colombia, and especially the idea of those blanket or reciprocal tariff across the board, that does give farmers pause as far as thinking that this export train has, you know, a lot further to go, or whether it could be cut off rather soon.
What do you see on the soybean side of the supply and demand tables?
It's very similar, actually, if you think about it. The idea is that the only difference there is that soybean crush demand has continued to be very strong. But the growth rate we expect there, we expect that to slow as we're looking forward. So again, if I'm looking for growth for 25, 26, I probably need it to come from the export line there as well.
So you're looking forward cautiously?
Cautiously, yes. And so especially when I'm looking at pricing right now, one of the things I'm seeing is with the rally that we've had in the corn market over the past few months, we have probably pushed those 25, 26 futures up into levels which can cover cost for a fair number of our producers. We're not there with soybeans right now. Soybeans is definitely lagging behind and leading to more of a challenge there, which is going to show up not only in terms of how farmers market the crop, but I think it's still influencing the acres we'll see planted this spring.
Natural rotation for farmers in Iowa suggests more corn acres this year?
It does. And so the idea is that we would naturally be moving towards corn, but right now you're getting that natural rotation impact combined with just the sheer economics also pushing farmers towards corn.
Got a number in mind?
My own number in my head right now is probably nationwide 94 million acres.
Thank you much. I appreciate it, Chad.
Thank you, sir.
That's Chad Hart. He's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension based in Ames. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Our program is 40 years old, more than that now, and has some 10,000 episodes. We're celebrating that this year and the 35th annual Old Ag Outlook Tomb. We'll do both of those things next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Sure would love to have you over there with us. Be sure to check out the agenda and to register today. The cost is just $40. You can do that online at willag.org or on the FarmDoc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's check now the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. We'll hear from Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us again on a Monday.
Hello there, Todd.
Let's begin with South America, Argentina. It's a crop we've been watching closely. What do you think of it today?
Things are improving in Argentina, more so for soybeans versus corn, since soybeans are more precipitation dependent versus heat sensitive. But what we've seen here recently is the pattern turn more active with rain activity in Argentina here in February. And looking out over the next 2 weeks, Argentina is going to receive above normal rainfall with frequent rain development, including some heavy rain development. So that will continue to boost soil moisture and be very timely, especially for soybeans going through pod development.
Yeah, so backing up just as a bit, because you said not as heat sensitive as corn. The pollination period, while having rainfall, was hot, I take it, in a large part of Argentina for corn.
Yeah, in recent weeks here. But if you go back to January is, which is primarily the main window for corn pollination, that was both dry and hot, and that likely hit corn the most here. So even with the rain activity improving this month, there was still some additional heat this month too. And overall, we feel things have kind of stabilized, but it's not turning around the situation here.
Yeah, it makes it much more difficult to try to figure out what the crop size is. You have to wait and make some counts in the field in order to understand what the nick was like and pollen, how pollination went. So we'll continue to watch that. Move northward across Paraguay, southern Brazil, and then into the center west.
Yeah, well, we're watching here Rio Grande do Sul, which got good rains a week ago to boost soil moisture for late developing soybeans. But since then, it's turned drier, it's turned hotter, it looks to stay that way over the next 2 weeks. In fact, things have trended even drier for Rio Grande do Sul. So that could, again, cause some late development stress here for soybeans just in Rio Grande do Sul. The rest of Brazil is also on the drier side, and that's favorable now for harvesting of soybeans as well as safrinha planting in Mato Grosso.
In the United States, what are you watching in the southwestern part of our world for the, particularly in Kansas and the Great Plains, for the hard breadwinner wheat areas?
Yeah, we're watching now what's been a transition to unseasonably warm temperatures, similar to what's happened here in recent days across the Midwest. And specifically in the plains, this warmer than normal pattern will persist during the next 2 weeks. Also with that will be a lack of any kind of big precipitation. And for the Southern Plains hard red winter wheat belt, that's been the driest acreage all winter, and no sign of any major precip events here coming up. And as the crop begins to go through spring growth starting later on in March, then crop moisture needs will begin to rapidly increase.
Just before our conversation with you, we were talking with Chad Hart. He's traveling through the northwestern part of Iowa, ag economist with Iowa State University. Was on a dirt road, actually, just waiting to talk with us today. I did ask him, because I knew that he would be in that part of the world, whether farmers' tiles were running and what dry conditions were like. And of course, it is dry there. Can you tell me if you have concerns for the northwestern Corn Belt or for Nebraska or other places as it's related to this spring and the dry conditions they have had?
Yeah, no immediate concerns, as there's still plenty of time for soil moisture to improve here over the next several months. One thing that we think is more noteworthy right now, or at least a leading indicator here, is that from the upper Midwest has seen a snow deficit here this winter. And as a result, the snow water content is basically very minimal. And so with that, that's something that can't really change over the next couple of months. So that points away from any kind of, you know, big flooding issues like what happened in 2019, where you had abundant and late season snowpack. This is totally different. So this is reducing the risk of extreme planting delays due to wetness and, you know, flooding issues up across the Red River Valley.
Thank you very much. That helps to put it all back together, as the ag economist told us that they were concerned in that area, mostly that they did not have snow cover. In fact, very little snow cover where he was today, too. Thank you. I appreciate that. You have a great week. We'll talk with you next Monday.
You're welcome, Todd. You too.
That's Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You may listen to it anytime you'd like. Search it out in your favorite podcast application or listen to it on demand at willag.org, willag.org, where you can today buy your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's just a week and a day away. It's next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but next Tuesday in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $40 through Friday, $60. After that, we hope to see you there, but you need to pick your ticket up as soon as possible. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.